The Sanders family looked like the perfect family. It's a family of four. The father was a very doting and loving father, particularly to his daughter Sarah, who was a senior in high school. Father was a respected lawyer in the community and was your classic breadwinner of the family. The mother was respected and kind, a churchgoer, got the family to church every Sunday. She always was dressed perfectly, a member of the PTA, a volunteer around the community. Their son was a junior. He was a record-breaking basketball player, multiple categories, just a great athlete. And then there was the daughter, Sarah, smart, beautiful, knew she was going to go places. She had everything in front of her. But it all came crashing down when Sarah was arrested after a car accident, after being high on crystal meth. And after being arrested, she was put into counseling. And during counseling, the truth came out. Turns out that mom began drinking every day about noon because she couldn't handle what her husband was doing to her daughter every night for the last 3 years. So Sarah escaped it all, escaped the pain by turning to drugs. You could say that the father of that family did exactly what St. Paul tells us. He reaped what he had sown. And his destruction came because of what he was sowing. You remember last week in Galatians, Paul gave us two lists, two things to be aware of. One was a list that Paul calls the works of the flesh, and it included 15 things, including a fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing. These, Paul says, are works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are obvious. And Paul is clear about these things, that those who do such things, who make a repeated behavior of these works of the flesh, to them does not belong the kingdom of heaven. They will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. By contrast, Paul also gives another list. And opposed to the works of the Spirit, or works of the flesh, this list is the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that are in evidence of those who belong to Christ. This is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the evidence of one who belongs to Christ. The Sanders family, the father in particular, tried to do what Paul is going to talk about in this passage from Galatians. He tried to mock God. In his private life, he was sowing the works of the flesh. In his public life, he tried falsely and fakely to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. But for Paul, these things are mutually exclusive. You cannot obey one list and hope to have the benefits of the other list. Bad trees produce bad fruit. And so in this last word from Galatians, Paul is telling his people in this church that living as a Christian isn't, well, you live as a person who is forgiven, who knows that Christ has died for you, has redeemed you, has restored you, and has His Spirit living in you. But it doesn't stop there. That the Christian needs to be exhorted to live as one who belongs to Christ. You live as separate from the world. You give up and you put to death the works of the flesh. And you let the Spirit work in you instead. And so as a final warning, Paul tells the people, do not be deceived. A better translation of that would be to say, do not deceive yourself. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. And if you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not deceive yourself. What we do in private, even though we might put a good face on in public, we are sowing to our own corruption, to our own death. Now, not everyone in this world ends up like Father Sanders and is exposed fully in this world. We know, living in this world, that there are many wicked people who live really comfortable, nice lives to the very end. But God is not mocked. And corruption, though it may not come in this life, will come in the next life. Do not deceive yourself. Remember the words of what Paul has said throughout this letter. And this is important because he has established this first, and then he tells us how to live. Remember this. It's not the opposite way around. Because you, like Paisley this morning, have come to the waters of baptism. And Scripture often speaks of baptism kind of in a violent way. It doesn't speak of it as a nice little baby being put with water on their heads. Instead, Paul often speaks of baptism as your own death. You died in this font. Paul would say that you, in this font, have been crucified with Christ. Your flesh and all the works of the flesh have been crucified with Christ, nailed to the cross, killed in the most violent fashion. And as one who has been crucified to Christ, you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. If you're going to memorize any verse from Scripture, memorize that one. You have been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. Christ lives in you, and He works in you. His Spirit now lives in you as His Spirit now lives in Paisley. That is the foundation upon which we build our Christian lives. It starts there, and every day we look back to there, what God has done for us. And because the flesh has been crucified with Christ, and Christ lives in you, you are forgiven. And not only that, you are redeemed. You are bought back. You are made new. And through baptism, the Lord cements Himself to you, binds Himself to you, seals Himself within you to do that which you could not do. That is our foundation. And as people who live in the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit because of what God has actually and factually done for you, Paul tells us now live as people of the cross. Live as people who exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Be loving. Be joyful in affliction. Be at peace, knowing that God has done far more for you than you could ever have done for yourself. Practice patience with those around us, because even though we are all saved, we are still belong to a club full of sinners. Everybody sitting next to you is a sinner. And sometimes it takes patience to deal with other sinners. Be kind. Be generous. Be faithful. Exhibit gentleness, calling others to repentance. And exhibit self-control, because this is the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a beautiful phrase about that, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of God living in you, doing these things. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you or your flesh that lives in you, but Christ lives in you. Let us pray. Most Holy Father, we give you thanks for the gift you have given us all in baptism, that in these waters we have been killed, our flesh has been put to death, and we have been raised with your Spirit. Help us each day to look to the promises that you have made to us by your word and by your power, by your glory, and by your Spirit. And that through your Spirit, Lord, help us to live lives befitting what you have done for us, knowing that in all our failures, we are forgiven. And now, Lord, we ask that you would nourish us with your body and your blood, giving us in those elements the word of forgiveness that we need to sustain us for yet another week. We pray this in your name. Amen.